Would you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4, page 1351, if you're using that black Bible under the seat in front of you. This has been a go-to passage for me over the years. This has been something that I've needed to come to often to remind myself of. It's like medicine to the soul. And I pray that this passage will be a great encouragement to all of us here this morning. Father, it's so wonderful to have the promises in your word that we can trust in. Lord, and that we can trust in you. Not just for things in this life, but for all of eternity, Lord. We're secure. We're strong. We're confident in you. Lord, I recognize that many are walking through difficult trials right now, and I pray that you would just bless this time in your word, that you would give us great encouragement and comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but I really do feel like the world is on fire. I feel like there's so many terrible things, confusing things happening everywhere you look, internationally, nationally, locally, and personally. I know of many, many folks, dear friends, who are walking through very difficult times. And I'm telling you, it can be real easy to get negative and to just live this real pessimistic type of life and have an ugly attitude. And it's real easy, I think, to get stressed out. But that's not how God wants us to live as his people. We Christians are not to be negative, stressed out people. Amen? We Christians are to be positive, peaceful people. And this passage before us gives us five commands to obey. And in doing so, you will be the positive, peaceful Christian that God wants you to be. So let's read through our text. Look at these commands. Look at verse 4, Philippians chapter 4. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord." How long?
Always.
Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surrounds all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. Okay, so command number one, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And in the Greek language, that is in the imperative. As Christians, we are commanded to rejoice. And the tense of the Greek word indicates continual activity. As Christians, we are commanded to always, continually rejoice. Now that sounds like it's sort of an oversimplification of life. It kind of reminds me of that song that was popular years ago. Do you remember? Don't worry, be happy. Remember that song? But understand the key phrase in this command. Understand the qualifying phrase. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Always. The only way you and I as Christians can continually rejoice is when we rejoice in the Lord. We can't always rejoice in circumstances. We can't always rejoice in our bank accounts. We can't always rejoice in our health. We can't always rejoice in our relationship status. We can't always rejoice in the weather. Those things change. They're variable. But we can always choose to rejoice in the Lord because he's constant. And we can always rejoice in everything that we have as Christians in the Lord because that always remains constant. Brother and sister in Christ, every single day you can rejoice in your salvation. You have been saved. You're born again. Think of it. Isaiah the prophet says in Isaiah 61, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he's clothed me with the garments of salvation. That never changes for you. You can always rejoice in the relationship that you have with God through Jesus Christ. You can always rejoice in his presence in your life. No matter what's going on, completely independent of all the circumstances, good or bad, rejoice in the Lord. And by the way, Paul is practicing what he's preaching here in this letter. You realize when he writes this book we call Philippians, he's in one of the most difficult seasons in his life. He wrote this letter from a cell, from a dungeon in Rome. He wrote this letter at a time where he was having all kinds of issues with lots of people in his life, non-believers and even believers. And yet 17 times in this letter, Paul uses the word rejoice or joy. You want to stay positive? You want to stay peaceful? Choose to rejoice in the Lord and all that you have in the Lord every day. That'll keep you seeing the bright side, I promise you. Look at the second command found in verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Again, in the imperative, this is a Greek. In the Greek word, it's the imperative. This is a command. Literally, this text tells us as Christians to be gentle with everyone. Everyone. Certainly with your spouse, with your children, with your immediate family, with your coworkers, with your boss, with your employees, with your clients, with everyone you encounter. Yes, even that guy who cut you off on the road. We as Christians are called to be gentle with everyone. This Greek word for gentle is really, really interesting. It's very, very hard to translate the meaning of that word into English. In fact, one of my heroes, William Barclay, called this word the most untranslatable of all Greek words. There's so many things in this word. There's different senses. In one sense, it's a word that literally means to be soft. Be soft with all the people in your life. That means be tender. Be kind. Be considerate. Mind your manners. Be respectful. If you're going to be that person who's going to intimidate people, throw your weight around, loud and obnoxious with people, I guarantee you, your life is going to be filled with stress and fights. But But if you learn how to be soft, if you learn how to be kind, you're going to find peace. The idea is captured in Proverbs chapter 15. A soft answer turns away what? Wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, if you're soft and kind and respectful, you're going to enjoy a lot more peace than if you're harsh. Now you say, what, you know, there's sometimes where you have to be real firm on something that you believe. You could do that, and you can do that and still be respectful. And the Lord can show you how to do that. This is a word that also in another sense means to be surrendering, to be yielding. To be someone who is willing to compromise with other people. One scholar translates this word as, and I love this, sweet reasonableness. I like that. Being sweetly reasonable with all of the people in your life. One commentator translates this verse, let all the world know that you will meet a man halfway. It's beautiful. You know, I think there are a lot of issues in life that we can get to middle ground on. There are a lot of issues in life that you don't have to beat up the person who disagrees with you about and become bitter enemies. Now, there are definite things that we are to have no compromise about. That's absolutely true. But again, even in situations like that, you can respect people. You can be kind to people. This word also means, and I love it, it means to be patient with people, to be forbearing with people, to be non-retaliatory with people. To be gentle with people means that you're not going to be easily offended by other people. Oh, you're going to get even. That's the idea. I think too many people in our society today get too easily offended. And there are some people, even Christians, that they're going to stick it up, man. They're going to fight every battle. Going to defend themselves. Proverbs 19 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Did you hear that? In the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, it says it is the glory of a person who will overlook a transgression. Somebody who sincerely offended you. You know, there's just a lot of things that we fall on our swords over that aren't worth it. You want peace in your life? You want positivity in your life? Don't defend yourself on all fronts every time. Chill. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Be gentle with all people. And ask the Spirit to help you to do that, you know, without compromising truth, without compromising how you really feel about things. But man, you got to walk that balance. Command number three, I think it's implied at the end of verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men, and the Lord is at hand. Always. My brother and sister in Christ, remember that the Lord himself is at hand. And I think there's two ways to look at that. Number one, never, ever forget that the Lord is with you. Just that simple. If you're a born-again Christian, the Lord is with you. The presence of the living God who made heaven and earth is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. There is no obstacle that you face in this life alone, Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go. He's always at hand. Let that awareness give you peace. Make you positive. The other way to look at that is it could also be speaking of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. The Lord is at hand. As Christians, we're to live our lives as the Lord is at hand. He could come back at any moment. His return is soon. At any moment, he can come back for us. He can snatch us up to be with him in heaven in a twinkling of an eye. And so understand that you are always living, you know, a twinkling of an eye away from heaven. Never forget that. And all the struggles and the trials and the things that we walk through here, man, they're all going to go away and they're all going to be explained. My favorite verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do you realize everything here is working for us as Christians, something that far outweighs it in heaven? The Lord is at hand. Hang tough. Be at peace. Stay positive. Stay hopeful. So three commands so far. Rejoice in the Lord. Be gentle. Remember the Lord is at hand. Okay. Look at the fourth. This is a famous verse for many of us as Christians. Verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surrounds all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to break this fourth commandment into two pieces. Piece number one, very clear. Do not be anxious for anything. And again, that's a command, and it's in the Greek as an imperative, and it's an ongoing thing. As Christians, we are commanded. Do not be anxious in anything. Now, it's really, really important that you understand this Greek word behind the English word anxious here. It's very important. This is a Greek word that's called merimnao, and if you look in a Greek dictionary, it literally means this: to care for something, to care about something, to be concerned about something. So many times in the New Testament, it's used in a positive sense. You understand? Because we are supposed to care about things. We are supposed to be concerned about things. Paul uses this word in chapter 2 of this letter to speak of a beautiful servant in the church at Philippi who cares about the church and the people in the church. It is really important to care about things, to be concerned. This verse is not teaching a lazy, carefree attitude that leads to a life of irresponsibility. No person should come to this verse and say, look, I'm just going to be carefree and let things happen, man. Do whatever. Now, you'll have a lot of stress in your life. If you have a lot of stress in your life because you're irresponsible, then you want to know how you eliminate that stress in your life? Get responsible. Work hard. Take ownership. In no way does this verse tell us to be lazy. And we just sit around and pray. No, see, this word becomes negative as it is here in verse 6 when it speaks of unduly worrying, to be too concerned. Now, this speaks of people who are frantic about everything, even though they're being responsible. People who are always worrying about all the what-ifs in life. No, don't be anxious like that. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount what a lot of people worry about. Matthew 6, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? How many people worry about all the material things? Worry, worry, worry. And here in America, we worry about things that we should never even have to worry about. Silly things. Trivial Pursuit is the name of a popular game. Could also be the title of many a person's biography. Spend their whole life worrying about trivial things. Jesus said in Matthew 6, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. How often do we lose sleep about things that might happen? And then they never do. Do not be overly worried and concerned about anything in life. And so the second piece to this commandment then is the positive. How do you do that? Well, pray. Pray about everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God is your heavenly Father. You're a child in his family. He loves you. He cares about you. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I've always loved the Phillips translation of that. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Give him everything. Supplication, it's a word that speaks of making known your hurts, your desires. Bring him all of your requests. Bring him all the things that you are overly worrying about. I always like to point out on this verse that it says, pray like this with thanksgiving. Always approach your Father with thanksgiving. Yeah, we might have concerns in life, but always, always approach your Heavenly Father with thanksgiving. Don't ever come across like a little whiner, a complainer, a grumbler. Remember, that's what the folks in the Old Testament were like, and God was so displeased. You remember, they whined about everything, didn't they? Murmur, 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 complain, grumble, grumble. Those words even sound annoying, don't they? Murmur, murmur, murmur. Complain, complain, complain. Every time, I don't care what's going on in your life, you approach the throne of God with thanksgiving. Thankful for all that you have. And you bring those concerns before him in a respectful, wonderful way. And I would add that this is a command from the Lord to each one of us as personal Christians. You pray. Can I say that again? You pray. You. Going to the leaders of the church and asking for prayer is an awesome thing. We do it after every service. We invite you to come forward. We're delighted to do so. Going to other Christians and asking them for prayer is a great thing. We need prayer support from one another. Writing out a prayer request and putting it in the Agape box is a great thing. We delighted to pray for your prayer requests. Getting your prayer requests on an email chain, great thing, or a text messaging, and people are delighted to pray. But I promise you, nothing will ever replace you as one of God's people falling on your face and praying. Giving him all your concerns. And look at the absolute promise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You do that, I don't know, it doesn't matter what you're anxious about, how little or how big. And believe me, there are some big things that happen in life that stress us out. If you give that all to the Lord, you will experience the spectacular, supernatural peace of God. It can't be explained. It says it's hard, but you can experience it. And I will tell you, in some of the darkest days of my life, when I've approached the Lord, I've known his presence with me. You can be at peace. I'll never forget the story of a young Christian woman just married, and they were military. Her husband was military, and her husband was deployed, and she was staying with her Christian parents. And the terrible news came that he had been killed in action. And the dad got the call at work. Mom called and said, "This is what happened." So he immediately came home, says to his wife, "Where is she?" "She's upstairs." He slowly climbed the carpeted steps, found her in a room. The door was just a little bit of a jar, and he saw his daughter just doubled over on the bed, just weeping and weeping and sobbing. But he could hear her saying, "Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus." He immediately turned around and went back downstairs. And the mom said, "What'd you say to her?" And he said, "I'm not interrupting anything right now. She's in much better hands. And I promise you, in your deepest, darkest moments in life, if you pour out your heart to Christ, he'll be there for you. He'll carry you. He'll give you a peace like you never knew existed." So this fourth command, do not be anxious about anything, because you're going to pray about everything and experience the peace of God in doing so. One more command. Look at verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, is there any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Again, fifth commandment for all of us as Christians, meditate on these good things. Think about these good things. I know a lot of people say, "Well, I can't help what I think. These thoughts just come into my, I can't help." Look, yeah, thoughts come into our brain, but you can take hold of them. You can be disciplined. In fact, we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that we are to bring every thought into the captivity of obedience to Jesus Christ. Do you realize you can take ownership of what you think about? You can take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Meditate on good things. And this is a very serious word, this word meditate. Logizomai in the Greek, we get our word logic. It's a mathematical term. It's an accounting term. It's the type of thinking required to do a math problem. Remember those dreaded word problems in math? It speaks of concentrated, calculating thought, serious thinking, brain power required You want to live at peace? You want to stay positive? Choose to think on good things. Discipline your thought life. You know, there's that term that I remember growing up when, as a programmer. Whatever you put into a computer is going to come out. GIGO, we used to call it. Garbage in, garbage out. Good, solid programming in, good stuff's coming out. Same thing works with your brain. I love all the things that it says here. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, meditate on things that are true. And certainly the things that are true we find in God's word, right? Oh, how we should be meditating on the scripture. It says, meditate on whatever things that are noble. I love this word. This is a word that means things that carry weight. Things that have substance to them. You know, something that's a meaty portion. So, I mean, should you be reading a lot of gossip columns? Should every movie you watch be Dumb and Dumber? What about the great works of art? What about the hard reads that challenge you intellectually, spiritually? Put things of weight in your brain. Things that are noble. Whatever things are just, that's another word for righteous. Put righteous things in your brain. Be careful of all the dark entertainment out there that glorifies wickedness and violence. Doesn't it seem like they have to keep pushing the limit? Every TV series gets darker and darker because it attracts people. Now fill your mind with good, righteous things. Whatever things are pure, that's in a sexual sense. Don't put filthy images in your brain. Whatever things are lovely. I love this. Prophileo. Put things in your mind which call forth love. Things that will inspire you. Good things. Good examples. Things that are beautiful. They're lovely. Again, be so careful what you're watching and all the entertainment. My grandparents grew up in Roslyn, PA, Philadelphia, PA, and they used to tell me, they're both with the Lord now, but they used to tell me that when they met as teenagers, a long time ago, and they would go to the movies and they would talk about how you could get a double feature popcorn and lunch for a nickel. Thought, man, that's cool, right? But they said that they often remember leaving the movies, skipping down the street, holding hands and singing. There was innocence back then. When's the last time you ever left a movie doing that? You know, things that are just inspiring. Beautiful. As Christians, we need to keep our minds in the Word of God and keep studying. But, you know, this verse tells us that there's a lot of things that you can think about that are worthwhile and good for you. Think about things that are virtuous, things that are praiseworthy, meditate. Oh, I love this. Think on things of a good report. Good reporters, huh? Find good news, not all the bad news. Emerson said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. What do you think about all day long? Marcus Aurelius said, a man's life is what his thoughts make of it. Book of Proverbs, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Stephen Kilpatrick wrote, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. What starts out as a simple thought may ultimately determine our destiny, even our eternal destiny. Man, pretty simple stuff. You want to be positive? You want to be peaceful? You choose to rejoice in the Lord. Be gentle. Remember that the Lord is in hand. Pray about everything. Discipline your thought life. Think on good things. So, Father, I pray that we would obey those commands as your people. I pray, Lord, staying close to you, in touch with you, remembering you. Rejoicing in you, pouring our hearts out to you, living for you. Experiencing your wonderful peace. Lord, I pray that we would be the most positive, peaceful people on the planet right now, and that our lives would be an influence upon others. That others would want to know what it is that we have. And that we would share the love and faith that we have found in you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, we spoke about a lot of things that help Christians stay at peace and stay positive. But you know, the first step to having peace is getting right with God. You cannot experience the peace of God until you're at peace with God. And peace with God comes through faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again the third day. Are you a child in the family of God? Have you received Christ personally for yourself as your Savior? You must have all your sins forgiven to become a child in the family of God. And then, only then, can you begin to experience peace, real peace. I want you to have an opportunity right now to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. In the scripture, he's called the Prince of Peace. And boy, will he bring peace to you. But you must humble, bow, surrender in a prayer just like this, in the quietness of your heart. Come to the Lord for yourself and say, Lord, I bow, I surrender, I yield. I'm a sinner. I freely admit it. I need all of my sins to be forgiven. And I thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me, for shedding your blood for my sins, rising again that third day, alive, victorious, and glorious to save me. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Put me securely in your family. Change my whole outlook on life. Use me as a mighty servant for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.